Who says they don't have pizza in Venice? I just got off the airplane, took Delta Airlines over, and I'm right here at the restaurant location, and we're going faster. So everything is good. What else can we ask for?
Oh, great.
Well, we're not staying here, right?
This is yes.
We are staying
here. Yeah.
The Dolomites, UNESCO World Heritage.
This is Delta and Margarita, where we're staying today. And we were supposed to be taking a walk around in the Dolomites. You know? And Carlos said it might be raining later in the afternoon, so we're not sure, because if it rains more than
They use no preservatives in the prosciutto?
Yeah, so that's, I guess.
No, yes, I was saying, no, it's the only ones that is only cured. I mean, it's only the curing process and the salt. That's it. They don't put anything.
Oh, I mean, you say the salt is actually
salt.
Different?
No. Salt is part of the curing
system. Yeah, right. But it's not a different type of salt, say, in Parma.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. But I don't
they make a lot of cookbooks make a great difference about the different types of salt they're using now. Like, I have a cousin who's a graduate of a culinary school, and for example, I have to go now. We're having a class on salts. We're having a salt tasting. Now, can I ever tell the difference between salt? I don't really think I do that.
What were you saying about the Yelli, where they're located? Because the prosciutto does have a smell to it, right? And the processing of creating prosciutto.
Yeah, because
they hang them for a long time.
Yeah, it depends. They have different periods of hanging. But the important thing is where it is produced. So we are in the middle of the region. San Daniele is in the real middle of the region, north part of Udine area. And you have the fresh air coming from the Alps, and the air coming, the salty air coming from the sea. So it's a special
microclimate,
thank you, that made this ham prosciutto so special.
So how does that affect the animal or the curing process?
No, I would say both, because the animals are Italian. They come, they must come from Italy. They cannot come from other parts of the world. They have to be Italian, and they are from the central north area of Italy. So they arrive in Friuli Venezia Giulia, and so afterwards there is the curing. So both.
And just when you said that the air and the, I just wondered how that got into the process.
The air.
Like
Where they open the windows
every
night in order to have these air. The process is that.
Right.
So. Okay. Glad to. I'm usually like the last person. Okay, because I have to video. All right, and soon I'm going to pay attention. Because this is wild. Onward. Okay, I'm gonna stop videotaping. And we're gonna go high, and we're gonna stop with the beautiful window. Okay, we can go up. All right, so we're now. We were back here, and now we are getting closer. And we're gonna climb up to the hut. This is a perfect walk. Look at those logs. But I remember. So we met Tatiana and her community and her area at the Italy. There was an event and we go to the video. We're going to give a link to that.
Yeah.
And don't I remember that in the Dolomites you have these huts and people can go from one to the other to the other?
Yeah.
And is it like skiing? Do they have
no,
it's just the hiking? No. And
yeah, exactly. Trekking, hiking, baths, where you can see the cheese production. They are open during summer, so they just move all cows close to in the hut, and they produce cheese. But you can also eat if you go trekking, hiking. You go there, you have a glass of wine, a beer, or a cup of coffee, or you can also eat something.
Peroni. So, Peroni Red was what Paul Newman liked. Used to go to my friend Malampo's, had a little place on Sullivan Street, downtown in Manhattan. And he made the greatest hero. Why are these signs on this wall? Do you know?
Yeah, some poems, you see.
Friends of the area?
Yeah, or people who died here.
Uh-huh, okay. Mm-hmm. A memorial.
Memorials. Exactly.
Okay. There's definitely a fascination with the mountains, as there's a fascination with the water, and with the land overall in general, and life.
All the way from the USA.
Yes.
Good. Both coasts.
Ah, okay.
As Linda said, I'm Annalisa. I'm a guide of the region Friuli Venezia Giulia, which is a very peculiar region, actually, because it's made of two very different territories. So today we're going to visit Udine, so we are in Friuli. Sometimes when I have Italian groups, I ask them, where are we now, in the Julian March or in Friuli? And you know, there's always a lot of confusion about it. So half will say we're in the Julian March, the other half will say we're in Friuli. So you see, not even Italians know exactly what Friuli and what Venezia Giulia are, but after, you know, this visit to our region, I'm sure you'll have very clear ideas about it. So, I think we can start with one of the most interesting parts of the city, which is the main square. So, we're going to Piazza Libertà.
But the name Giulia was something from Frugia. It's from Caesar?
Yeah, it's from his family, from the Julia family, yeah. And also Friuli, actually, because the name Friuli derives from Forum Iuli, which was the market of Julius Caesar, and that's today Cividale. So the name then became the name of the region. So you see, the gens Iulia, this very important Roman family, is contained in both the names of the region. So
grazie.
You're welcome.
Oh, she's gonna do a selfie.
Smile.
This woman's
Edward.
Unbelievable. I'm gonna do a selfie of her selfie. I'm not gonna do a selfie. What am I gonna do? I'm just gonna do Marcia. This is interesting.
Okay, push the button.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't believe me.
Don't be alive.
Yeah. Even without the car, maybe. This is just the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, this place is as famous, this city here, the downtown. Yes, no?
Not as it should be. Oh. Not as famous as it should be. We will also
We'll fix that.
By the end of today, we'll be
good.
Stampede here.
You know, for example, also Tiepolo, everybody goes to Venice to admire Tiepolo's masterworks, but we have a lot also here.
You okay with me videotaping? I'm taping.
Yeah, no.
You okay?
I'm trying to stay out of the video.
Okay, I was going to ask.
Don't change. Anybody? Don't adjust what you're doing, but just, I mean, I'll just try.
Okay, does anybody mind being in because, you know, the video?
I'm going to take a lot of video later.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Is everybody okay with being in video? If I get you in the video, just to let you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Just don't tag
me. I don't know how to tag.
Oh, yeah, you're
no. No, I know how to. I've been doing this. It's my 20th anniversary.
Of the city began. It began on this hill behind me. So tradition has it, it was built by Attila's soldiers. Attila, the scourge of God, had conquered Aquileia, which was the largest Roman city in the 5th century. And he had plundered it and destroyed it. So he wanted to see it burn from up there. So he told his soldiers, you know, to form a hill with soil carried in their helms. And that's the legend. Actually, this is a moraine. And, you know, the first news we have about Udine, the first document, dates back to the year 983. And there was just a fortification on the hill. And later, the city became a real city when the Bishop of Aquileia, the Patriarch, decided to move his residence from Cividale to Udine, which will cause a very long rivalry between the two cities. So what you see up there is the castle built in the 16th century by the Venetians, because the story of Udine starts with the Patriarchs, but then Venice conquered the territory of the Patriarchate, and Udine has been Venetian for a very long time. And I think you can tell, because the architecture is undoubtedly Venetian. This palace, you know, well, it's a lot like the Palace of the Doge in Venice. I'm sure you've all been to Venice, because I know you Americans have been everywhere. You put us all Europeans to shame, because, you know, I have some American friends and they've really been everywhere. So you see, now what we see is also a clock tower, which reminds us a lot of Venice, a lot of lions. They are a symbol of the city, the winged lions. But you see, all that you see on this side was built in the 16th century, because unluckily this is also an area which is subject to earthquakes. So all the ancient buildings built by the Patriarchs in the Middle Ages have been destroyed by an earthquake that took place in 1511. So, you know, what we have was built later, but in a very Venetian style.
What is this building called?
So this building was the city hall. Yeah, then a larger city hall was built just behind it. So today it's used just for representative.
And for weddings.
And for weddings, yeah. Which is very important. But you see, this is, and this has been rebuilt because it was destroyed by a fire in 1876. So it's been rebuilt, you know, with the original parts, but something has been replaced too, because it wasn't possible to rebuild it exactly as it was. So the clock tower up there has two metal figures. You see two also in Trieste. They have two different meanings. I mean, here, of course, they are a little bit like the Moors on San Marco Square. That's the inspiration source. You know, in this case, they are called the Italian and the German. While in Trieste, you have Miketz and Jaketz, and they are two Slovenians. So you see, in Trieste, there's a very important Slovenian minority living in the province, in the city. Also in the province of Udine, there's a Slovenian minority, but it doesn't play such a big role here in the city. You know, they are concentrated on the eastern border. So you see, that's one of the many differences. But our region is an autonomous region, because in our region we speak officially four languages. So Italian, of course, Friulan, Slovenian, and German in the north. So we have to guarantee everybody a right to their culture, to their language, and that's why, you know, we are an autonomous region, which means, of course, a lot for the good, you know.
So can you get the driver's license test besides Italian and German? Can you get it in Slovenian here?
No, no. Usually, you know, you do it in Italian. But if you find, you know, driving school on the cars where people speak Slovenian, then it's not a problem.
It's not a problem.
You can, yeah, you can speak
because
Slovenian.
Because they stopped letting people get it in English. And so I'm looking for a new region. I'm looking for a region where I can take the test in the English. So
that's
going to
be
I'm asking.
That's
going to
be hard. But not impossible.
I'm going to find a region.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If you can now, it's German, French, and Italian. But I would think if you've got this heavy presence of two other cultures, it would make an exception.
Yeah, they do. And I also wanted to show you the only original lion that's on the clock tower. And that's the only Venetian lion that's still there, because in 1797, Napoleon put an end to Venetian rule and he destroyed all the lions he could find. But that lion had been covered by a brick wall, so they couldn't see it. It was spared. The lion up there was actually remade on the Columna Magna, that's the big column, and also the lion on that beautiful arch. That beautiful arch is Andrea Palladio. In 1556, he came to Udine, and he drew that arch, and a rich man from Udine saw it, and he saw Palladio and asked him to draw up also his new palace here in town. So we have another palace that was drawn up by Palladio. And the fountain, I'm sure you've already photographed it. That's a fountain by Giovanni da Udine. He was a pupil of Raphael. So we see other fountains that he designed, and also the castle was finished with him. The castle on top of the hill.
Who are these two fellows?
Oh yeah, that's another story. You know, they were actually two statues that belonged to a palace, not on a square, not far from here. And that palace was the palace of the family Della Torre. One of its members, Lucio Della Torre, was put to trial by Venice, and he was sentenced to death. As a punishment, his palace was torn down. That happened quite, you know, often back then. But the two statues, they were put here as, warning to the people. So you see what happens if you disobey Venice, if you, you know, try to betray us. Because he was killed actually by Venice, he was sentenced to death, probably because he was loyal to the Habsburgs, who were the arch enemies of Venice. So you see, later when Austria conquered this region, so after the Napoleonic Wars, they gave the statues back to the family Della Torre, but the family Della Torre said,
No, thank you.
They're going to be an eternal present to the city, and you can see the writing in Latin, Munus Eternus, that means eternal present. No, you can enjoy them as long as you want. Good, so the loggia is also a beautiful example of Renaissance style here in Udine. And in the middle there's a church. So that was a church. Today it's a war memorial because, of course, World War I in particular was fought not far from here. So, you know, we have a lot of monuments about World War I. Good, so...
Just one question.
Sorry.
I thought that the sundial
is Medici. Am I wrong or what? Is that, I mean, we started, we have a famous TV show called CBS Sunday Morning. They use that design, and when I was in Venice, in the Medici area, I have that, you know, took home with me. What is the symbolism of that? Do you know?
You mean the
sundial, yeah. Is there any?
Well, that's not really a sundial, that's a clock.
It's a clock, right? Yeah. But is there anything behind that design?
No, I wouldn't say so.
No?
So the sun, you know, that's a symbol that you can find a lot in the Renaissance. It was used very, very often.
Uh-huh.
It could be that it, you know, the architect had seen it in Florence, Giovanni da Udine, who drew up this clock.
Right.
He worked in Rome, he worked in Florence, he was with Raphael. You know, he was someone who, yeah, he was someone who had been a bit everywhere, so can be that he was inspired by what he saw in Florence, why not?
Grazie.
I wanted to take you...
Okay. Your name is?
Marcia Bortolin.
What does peace mean to you?
Harmony, happiness, the possibility of express yourself without being persecuted.
Okay.
Respect towards people and population. And, you know, no need to be angry, mad, aggravated against everybody, against the world. That is peace.
All right, I love you. Thank you so much, Marcy.
Thank you.
This cool little place. International Day of Peace.
The International Day of Peace. I do remember in Montreal exploring the Queen Elizabeth Fairmont Hotel, where they have the John and Yoko Give Peace a Chance suite. And it's pretty amazing. And it was, I think, a three-day bed-in. And now the suite is open. And people have parties there. Oftentimes people don't spend the night. They have really actual parties. It's pretty amazing. So there you have it.
There you go.
John was... Talking peace, 1970.
Well, we were saying, give peace a chance.
That's it.
Sherry Whiting de Masi. At this point in time, with everything going on in the world, peace to me means being in my house on a little dirt road in Umbria, listening to the birds sing and watching my olive trees burst into flower. And that to me is the ultimate of peace in 2018.
Thank you. Thank you. Grazie.
Prego.
My name is Gary Singh, and to answer that question, I would say that peace always comes from within. You know, if you don't have, you will never have outer peace if you don't have peace inside. And, just a moment ago, we walked past a small little canal, and there was a swan floating down the canal all by himself or herself. I don't know which, if it's a him or her, and it was just so peaceful, and swans are kind of like that, you know. I have a deep relationship with swans, you know, somehow. But to repeat myself, I'll just say that peace within is what you really need, or you will never have outer peace without inner peace.
Okay, thank you very much. Cooking classes in Italy. Scendere Tercero. Lions.
Hello,
Paul. Hello, hi Tatiana, how are you?
How are you? I'm fine.
Good.
You?
Good, everything's good. Yeah. Okay? Okay. Wow.
Now they will explain us, but they are going to work.